Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. He came to earth to dwell among sinners. Hallelujah. Gave his life as a ransom for many. Glory to God. In the final few moments, turn your Bibles to Psalm number 8, please. Psalm number 8. Psalm number 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you would visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beast of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Making wise time management decisions. Making wise time management decisions. You see, just at the right time, the Lord came. Not a moment too soon, not a moment too late. Praise be to his name. When I consider your heavens, verse 3, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you should visit him? What is man that you, Lord, are mindful of him? What is man? See, man is not an evolved ape, is he? Man is not an evolved ape. He's not a little higher than the apes. There is a distinct separateness between man and animal. If you like, we are the summit of God's creation. We are the summit of God's creation. The Hebrew actually says, you have made him to lack little of God. You have made him to lack little of God. A famous astronomer fairly recently said this, that we are a very, very small speck in the universe, almost as important as a single ant in the whole of the world. That is what he said, and I don't think he's that true to you. We are small. In fact, it's quite typical of many scientists. They look through their scientific, and I'm generalizing, they look through their scientific eyes and they see two pieces of matter. One matter is 1,000 times greater than the other piece of matter, so they automatically assume that the small is inferior. It is not worth anything like the large bit of matter. But small things can be extremely important. I look at those doors which are swinging open. They're held by some hinges, small little hinges. A germ can start an epidemic. A tiny computer virus can cause billions of pounds of damage. A little poison, bit of poison in a reservoir can wreak great havoc, can't it? One rash statement by a country's leader can start a war. One tiny atom in a bomb could raise to the ground a city the size of Hiroshima. And as the Bible says, a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. So watch what you say, watch what I say. Don't sow seeds of bitterness. What will we leave behind when we move on? We spoke last week and the week before about the sons of Anak being so great. And the Israelites thought, well, we are giant, we are small, we are like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in theirs. But physical features need to be balanced with other factors. And we're looking at a proverb in a moment. What I'm saying is, great things can come in small packages. And this statement is true throughout the Bible. Seemingly insignificant small people became great in the purposes of God. Abraham, when he was 90. David, the shepherd boy. Moses, the Egyptian. And what about God's word himself? The one who we've been reading of, the Creator. And when we look outside and see the beauty of creation, when we see his handiwork, when we consider the majestic Lord humbled himself and came as a babe. And as a babe he came because he was going to take the sins of mankind upon himself. How awesome, how incredible. Just in conclusion, I want you to turn to Proverbs. So it's the next book on. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, if you have a church Bible, is page 586. Proverbs chapter 30. And this is what it says in verse 24. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasped with its hands, and it is in kings' palaces. Wow! Four things on earth. The value of something does not depend on its size. These verses, incidentally, are in the Bible. They were written by Agur, the son of Jacob. Now, he was a non-Hebrew, seemingly a philosopher. And in this text, Agur lists four things on earth that are very small, yet, despite their size, they are amazing in their behavior. And they are wise. If we studied them, we would see four characteristics which are of kingdom living, of living for Jesus. But I'm just briefly going to speak about the ant. We all know what ants are. Sometimes they can go up our legs and end somewhere where we don't want them to end. Ants are everywhere, but they are very small. But the Bible says, well, they're not very strong. Ants are not strong. But they speak of preparation. They are wise. Ants are wise because they plan ahead. Now, what does the ant do with his little brain that we can learn from? Well, it prepares for harder seasons. We've just read in verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. So it's August, it's baking hot, they're out, but they know winter's coming. So they're preparing themselves. They've got foresight, haven't they? It's about forward thinking for the ant. It's about acting. Now, you and I, we can make some serious time management mistakes. I've made a few. What is one I make at times, and what you possibly have made? Maybe you're making this mistake today. You become obsessed about yesterday. You've become obsessed with what has happened in the past. Maybe a great sin. Maybe you've got guilt and you can't get shake of it. Even though you've been to the cross. Even though you have been broken before Jesus. The Lord would remind you, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You need to stand in the identity of who you are in Christ now, today, and renounce the memory of who you were yesterday and the week before. You are now in Christ. But if you haven't been to the cross, if you haven't asked for forgiveness, and yesterday, or the day before that, or last year, or last decade still haunts you, go to Jesus now. Receive his forgiveness, his pardon, and let the peace of God pass over you and through you. So we can get obsessed about yesterday. Or we can overly worry about tomorrow. Wow, we're always being anxious about tomorrow. Today was yesterday. Tomorrow never comes, but we're always concerned about it. What does Jesus say? Can anybody think, any of the children, young people, can help me about what Jesus says about tomorrow? About the future. Anybody, any children, young people, help me? Yes, darling.
Do not worry about
the future. Yeah, do not. Jesus specifically, and actually, you know, when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, the blessed bees, you know, that was something he said to his disciples, to you and to me. We are not to worry. We are to seek first his kingdom. We are to seek Jesus, his kingdom, his righteousness. And all of these things shall be added to you. Therefore, Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So don't, believer, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Commit it to Jesus and believe that he will care for you. His grace sufficient today. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Lastly, something else where we get our time management all wrong at times is we live just for today. We live for the moment. We're like the pagan. We are like what we were before we became Christian, where it's all about partying and just having a good time and just surviving today. Who cares about tomorrow anyway? Well, we should commit tomorrow in God's hands, because that's saying, I'm trusting you. I'm not going to do my own thing. I'm going to trust you, Lord. Eat, drink, and be merry? No, no, no. That way, we're not going to achieve what God wants for us today or tomorrow, and the end result may be pretty devastating. We have to live for Jesus. So, what are we saying? We need, possibly, to change our attitudes. We need to adjust our thinking. We need to put things in place for the future, because this is the wise person who is like the ant. So finally, we must be prepared. Every one of us, we must do what the ant does. Look to Jesus, as it were. I'm not saying the ants look to Jesus, but what I'm saying is the ant is wise and does prepare for supper the winter, because he knows tough times are coming. He knows tough times are coming. We know that tough times may be coming, but hey, presto, Jesus has already gone before us. Hallelujah! Yeah. And he has overcome the world. My faith is in him. So although it might be tough, it might be a challenge, in Christ, I'm strong. In Christ, I can do all things. I don't have to worry. My confidence is in him, because I'm standing on the rock, Christ Jesus. And I can face trials with his help and grace, depending on him. Also, we need to be prepared for Jesus. Hallelujah, he came the first time. We've been celebrating the fact he came as a babe. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you, Jesus. He's coming back again as well. We need to be ready for that. We need to be ready. That's why Peter says, therefore prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Prepare your minds for action. That is in the language of the first century, that's really saying, it means that the reader would have to gather up like the shepherds and the wise men this morning. They had their long things on, and if they were going to run, they've got to sort of pull them up a little bit. They've got to gather their robes so that they can go quickly. Well, we could prepare our minds so that we are ready. We're in action for when Jesus comes. Thirdly, be ready to talk about Jesus. Young people were out last night talking about Jesus, inviting people to the carol service, talking about the one they love and worship. We must use every opportunity and make the opportunities that God wants us to have to talk about the Lord. As again Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason, the hope that is in you. Do it with gentleness. Do it with respect. Something else about ants. They don't wear out. They don't wear out. I've never seen a worn out ant. Galatians says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And again the Apostle Paul wrote, fan into flame the gift that is in you. Brother, sister, don't grow tired of serving Jesus. Don't grow tired. Boys, girls, serve him with all your heart. Love him with all your mind. And something else, I've never seen a complaining ant. I've searched for them, but I have not yet seen, I've not observed a complaining ant. No, I haven't. Even when you knock down their anthills, they don't sit around and cry about it. They start all over again. They just start over. Christians, we must learn to keep at it, relying on God's grace, God's strength. Just remember, you're not just a speck. You are important to God. What is man? You are mindful of him. No wonder. Well, his eye is on the sparrow. Don't you think his eye is upon you? Run to him. He's watching over you. Don't make any more serious time management mistakes. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. The outcome is, he will direct your paths. Teach me your way, O Lord. His eyes on the sparrow. He came into this world. Our Lord, the Creator, he came into this world, emptied himself of his glory, came as a babe, pure, innocent, and so divine. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Let's just spend time in worship. Your eye is on the sparrow. Hallelujah. Just ask the Lord to impress upon our hearts anything that has been said or shared which we need to just tell him about, and because you know the Lord is so wanting to hear us call out to him, to tell him. If it's something about yesterday, last year, which you haven't put right, now is the time to get before the cross broken and receive his forgiveness, the blood of Jesus. If you're being tormented by things which have been forgiven as far as the east is from, look, God's forgotten. Let the peace of God ask the Lord for his peace. If you're just so anxious about tomorrow, worry, 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 worry. The Bible says you're as bad as the heathen. You're a child of God. You belong to him. He perfectly cares for you. Even though when you go through problems, challenges, hardships, I am with you. I will not leave you. My arms are underneath you. Keep looking up. Your reward awaits you. If any are just so taken up with the things of this world, you're carnal. You're living for today. You may put your hands in the air, but you're not Christ-like. Humble yourself now before God. Come before he who came as a babe, grew up and went to the cross, became a curse for us, so that we would not taste eternal death. Go to the one and say, Lord, take away my sin. Take away my pride. Take away my love for the things of this world. I want to be sold out for you. Fill me. Fill my life. Come into my life. I want to worship you, give you my all.